Everybody, and welcome to the True Crime Squad. This is Katie Weaver. I'm here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
It is good. My brain is fried. Ooh. My eyeballs are tired. This case has been moving so quickly today.
Yeah.
And I have read so much that I have, like, eye strain. I'm sure you do, yeah. Too. I do most of my research on my phone. I mean, I could do it on a laptop, but I kind of prefer it on my phone because I can screenshot things and stuff really easily, and which is normally great. But my eyeballs are like, Jesus, woman, take a break. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
I very much the same. Yeah, I've been sleuthing, man. I have been sleuthing today. Yeah. So we started telling you guys about this case last night, Wednesday night on Case Updates.
Yeah.
This happened in Boise, Idaho yesterday. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. Then we're going to hop right into the press release. And then we have a lot more to share about this case. So yeah. This was a prison break of sorts that happened in Boise, Idaho. There is an inmate named Skylar Mead, who was in prison. He's been in prison since 2016 in Boise. Part of his charges are for violence on police officers in Twin Falls, Idaho. Yeah. And Skylar has apparently become a member of the Aryan Kings, which is a white supremacist prison gang in Idaho. And this is his latest mugshot. And so the tattoo 111 is matches up with the alphabet to A and K for Aryan Knights. And I'm sure these other, I'm not sure what that penis on his chin is or the rest of them. I don't know.
is a lot what it looks like, but yeah, I'm not sure either.
Skylar, that's not straight. It's not straight. Or your face isn't. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
at any rate.
Definitely a little crooked.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, this is his latest mugshot. So Skylar had been in solitary in the prison in their maximumist, is that a word, of max security, and had done a bunch of injury to himself. And it was bad enough that the IDOC officials felt like he needed to be taken to the emergency room. So they took him to a hospital called St. Alphonsus in Boise.
In this picture, you can kind of see
some
of his injuries there.
Yeah. So they took him in, got him patched up, and took him back out to the ambulance bay to load him into the ambulance to head back to the prison. This was about 2:30 in the morning when a man charged in there with a gun. And the officers initially thought that this was a mass shooting in progress and ran back into the hospital to secure the hospital. You know, hospital, shooting, dear God. Yeah. Two officers were shot. And then a police officer in the course of acting on this saw a man with a gun and shot at him. And as it turned out, he was another officer, unfortunately. So he got some shrapnel from some friendly fire there. But luckily, none of the officers were killed. But in the meantime, this dude, this is Nicholas Oppenauer. It was Nicholas who came charging in with the gun. And his objective there wasn't to shoot up the hospital at all. It was just to free his pal, Skylar. So he loaded him into his car and off they went. And there's been a manhunt for them going on ever since.
Yeah.
Of course, that was Wednesday, you know, around 2:30 a.m., we all got, they're kind of like an amber alert, but they're a blue alert here in Idaho at around 11 a.m., I want to say, somewhere in there. So we've been keeping a close eye on this case because, holy shit, that is dramatic, and things like that just don't really happen around here, so.
No.
But we were stunned this afternoon by a press conference announcing that they had been caught. So I'm going to flip that on now, and then we'll get back to telling you everything we have discovered.
Yeah. Today you will be hearing from Lieutenant Colonel Sheldon Kelly of the Idaho State Police, as well as Director Josh T. Walt of the Idaho Department of Correction. Also present here with me is Ada County Sheriff Matt Clifford. This is but a small representation of the number of different agencies that have assisted in this investigation to this point, and we are grateful for their help. I want to begin today by announcing that right around 2 p.m. this afternoon, following a lengthy investigation, the two suspects who we have been seeking were located in Twin Falls, in the Twin Falls area. There was a short vehicle pursuit, and both suspects were taken into custody separately. There were no shots fired or extensive use of force in this operation, for which we are thankful. Obviously, that just occurred within less than an hour, and so we do not have a lot of details about the arrest right now, but we do have some more information to share with you, and we will be gathering those details and providing them as soon as we possibly can. And we once again want to make known Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umpenauer are in custody. Would like to turn the time now over to Lieutenant Colonel Sheldon Kelly of the Idaho State Police, because this investigation has grown immensely over the last 24 to 36 hours and has involved a number of different entities and crimes across the state of Idaho. And so to speak to some of those and answer questions as well, Lieutenant Colonel Kelly.
Thank you, Chief. Again, my name is Sheldon Kelly. I'm a Lieutenant Colonel with the Idaho State Police. I'm Chief of Operations. First off, I want to thank all the law enforcement agencies across Idaho that have assisted with this. I know it's the Idaho way, but there was an immense collaboration and cooperation all across the state to come to this conclusion. Ever since this incident kicked off, we've had professionals working tirelessly on this issue to get to the point where we are today. Through the course of this investigation, detectives have located the Honda Accord that was used in the escape near Leland, Idaho. Additionally, law enforcement and investigating, we are investigating two homicides at separate locations in Nez Perce and Clearwater counties. These are potentially tied to this incident. Both homicides involve adult males, and detectives are actively investigating. No further information on the homicides is available at this time, and the county coroner will provide identity as well as the official cause of death on those. Like the chief said at the end of this, if you have some questions, if I can't answer them, I will. It is an ongoing investigation. And to not taint that, we're not going to be able to share everything. And now I'd like to let the director of Idaho Department of Corrections, Josh Seawald, give an update on his folks.
Thank you, Colonel. My name is Josh Seawald. I'm the director for the Idaho Department of Correction. First, just nothing but appreciation for the cooperative effort from federal, state, and local law enforcement throughout Idaho and even neighboring states for their cooperation in helping to bring these two suspects to justice. We were able to share the news moments ago with our two staff members who remain in the hospital, and it's safe to say their spirits were lifted. We know, to give you an update on their condition, one of our officers was released from the hospital last evening, while two remain in the hospital. They're stable, improving, and I think with today's news, their spirits are lifted. Just to provide a little bit of context on the other suspect who we believe helped Skylar Mead escape and who actively attacked our staff yesterday morning, Nicholas Umpenauer. We'll be posting a little bit more information about his criminal history and time with us at the Department of Correction to our website, and we'll share that to State Police, BPD, as well for them to distribute. But once he was identified as a potential suspect yesterday, our investigators, along with cooperation from other law enforcement partners, began trying to tie him with Skylar Mead. In addition to having both having membership with the Aryan Knights, they also shared some acquaintances, some common acquaintances, both in custody as well as in the community. Lastly, they did have some housing overlap on and off from December 29th, 2020. To when Mr. Umfenauer was released from our custody on January 17th of 2024, that they were both housed at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, and there was frequent movement in between, but there were times within that time frame where they shared, they were in the same housing unit at our facilities. With that, just again want to express our thanks and appreciation for what was a very tough ordeal for the corrections family, thanking BPD and their response now over 36 hours ago to the ambush on our staff, but everybody who's offered assistance and put their shoulder into helping bring these two suspects to justice.
Thank you, Director. We can't possibly name everyone who helped with this investigation and the last 36 hours, but of particular note, I would certainly like to thank the FBI for their assistance. They have been involved and were also involved in the pursuit and taking into custody of these gentlemen down in Twin Falls area. We appreciate them and virtually every county sheriff's office between here and northern Idaho and across to eastern Idaho. We thank our partners here in the Treasure Valley for their assistance, particularly Josh Hurwit, our U.S. attorney, has been involved and helpful, along with the FBI. And the Ada County Prosecutor's Office has certainly been an integral part of this investigation, providing support and all the needs that we have.
Okay, I think we'll call it there. Yeah. So that's what happened. So, of course, we wanted to do a deep dive into who are these guys and what the hell? And also,
what are they up to? I mean, this all occurred in 36 hours.
Yeah. Guys,
it's crazy.
It's great. Well, yeah, they crossed a huge span of the state during this amount of time. So, yeah. Christy, let's start there. Talk to us about what path they likely took and how far they went.
So here's the thing you got to understand. Idaho geographically is a very big state. Mm-hmm. We are a small population, not even quite 2 million people, but we are very large and very rural and spread out. So yeah. As the officer said, they're looking at two homicides, one in Nez Perce County near Juliata and one in Clearwater County near Orofino. Mm-hmm. So here's the stuff. First of all, here's Clearwater County. You can kind of see it. But from Boise, it is a 217-mile trip. It is 4 hours and 27-minute drive. On state highways, small roads, not high-speed roads, through very rural wooded areas. It is an odd place to go unless you really wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. And then they went even further than that. Another 30 minutes passed to Nez Perce County. And Nez Perce County is, there's an Indian reservation there and also very rural place to Juliata.
This is near Moscow, where a lot of you guys have been following the Brian Koberger murders. This is near Moscow.
This is northern Idaho, which honestly, for most Idahoans, if you live in southern Idaho, northern Idaho feels like actually a different state. Like it's that far away.
Definitely.
It's not a place that you go a lot, and where with them being on the run, the way that they handled all of this, because then they came back to Twin Falls, Idaho. Mm-hmm. So they came back about 300 miles back to Twin, which is actually not very far from Boise, much closer to Boise than these other places.
Yeah. So why these places?
Yeah.
So we entered a deep dive. Now, one thing I'm going to say is that there was talk that they were also seen at some point during this path in Missoula, Montana, or in Bozeman, Montana. I haven't been able to substantiate that. I don't know what to think about that. I kind of suspect that was just a false sighting, but I don't know.
I just don't think so. I did. Here's a map.
It seems impossible.
From Clearwater County, Idaho to Bozeman, Idaho is a 6 hour and 41 minute, or Bozeman, Montana. It's 360 miles. It's a almost 7 hour drive.
Yeah.
I don't really see them getting to Nez Perce County, committing a murder, then back to Clearwater and a murder, or vice versa. We don't know what order, and then Bozeman and then back to Idaho and back to Twin. I don't even think that's even possible.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So I bet they weren't. I bet that was a mistake. I don't think
kind of what I'm thinking of Bozeman. Too.
Unless they were literally just driving continuously that time till they got back to Twin Falls.
And then maybe they were. But so we don't know. But it was said, so I'm saying it. But we kind of think that's probably false, a false sighting. But who knows? This is all wild. It's all super freaking wild. So then we had to ask ourselves, why Nez Perce County? Why Clearwater? Why back to Twin? Like, why would they still be in the state, to be honest, right?
Right. If they were just running, why weren't they just getting out of? I mean, they could have been in Canada easily.
If they'd been able to get into Canada, but yeah.
Right, but I mean, like, time-wise, they were would have been much wiser to just drive to Canada or literally just drive to another state and get the hell out of Idaho, and that is not what they did. So this, there was a purpose here.
Mm-hmm. The police are calling it a coordinated attack, meaning that this was pre-planned, and so there's some big questions for IDOC about how was this pre-planned?
Right? How did he know at that precise moment
to be there?
To be at the ambulance bay of St. Al's. Not just at the hospital, but to the ambulance bay. How did he know? This guy's been in solitary. How did he? And even if they had communicated, even if they had set this up in advance and they had a day and a time planned and all that jazz, he still knew precisely where to find Skylar Mead at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or 2:15 or whatever it was. Like, there's so much more to this story that Nick Umfenauer knew to be there in that moment. How did that get communicated by somebody who's not supposed to be able to communicate like that at all?
Yeah.
You know,
so how? Now, Nick has been out of prison since January, just January.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they said in the press conference, they did, there were times when they were both incarcerated that they would have been in the same block. So it's very likely that they did know each other while they were in prison.
Well, and in the same prison gang.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they definitely knew each other.
Yeah. So we got started diving into their backgrounds because we knew that would give us maybe some answers to our questions. So let me tell you a little bit more about what I learned about Nick's criminal background. So Nick, this is what pricked my interest, pricked up my ears. Nick's nearly all of his charges are from guess where? Yeah, Nez Perce County. Here's just a handful of his charges. Some of these were dropped or pled down. Some of them weren't, but I'll just share some highlights or lowlights with you. Malicious injury to property. Witness intimidation, threatening, harassing, or preventing someone from testifying in a criminal or juvenile case. Nick has a rap sheet from his juvenile days that is as long as your arm.
Oh, wow.
Unlawful taking of game animals, birds, or fur bearers. That was a felony sentence that he did go to prison for about a year. And, well, very 90, we don't know how long. But poaching, yeah. Disorderly conduct, assault, unlawful possession by a convicted felon, grand theft by receiving, possessing, or disposing of stolen property, burglaries, theft. This is all from way earlier days. Burglary, theft, malicious injury to property, probation violations, and so on. Aggravated assault, misdemeanor battery, arrests and seizures, resisting or obstructing officers, disturbing the peace, contempt of court, threats and other influence, official or political matters, and so on.
Mm.
But they were all of his charges are up in Northern Idaho, up in the Nez Perce area. So that's,
you know,
why they went up there.
Yeah. Yeah, he went there for a reason, obviously. And that is, you know, the Aryan Knights are a prison gang, but I mean, Northern Idaho is well known for white supremacists. We always have known them as skinheads growing up because I guess because they're all bald. I don't know. But I mean, these guys definitely are, you know, fitting that bill.
Yeah.
I doubt that they're white supremacist. Bullshit started in prison. It started long before that, particularly for Nick.
Well, I mean, obviously these guys have gone down a really, really hard road. Nick also apparently had spent some time in Florida and went to college in Florida briefly, it looks like. I just want to show you a picture of him from 2015 from his Facebook page. We don't have an updated mugshot for him. As soon as we do, we'll post it on our socials. This was Nick in 2015.
Okay.
This is Nick in his most recent mugshot. What's missing? All of his hair.
Yeah. He shaved it all off for some reason. Let's think
weird
about that for a minute.
I can't figure it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Christy, give us a rundown of... the criminal history of Skyler.
So Skyler appears to be from Twin Falls, Idaho, although I don't have total history from that. What I have is criminal records beginning in 2010 from Twin Falls County, Idaho. And that's actually where all of his criminal record is from. He was initially charged with a misdemeanor, failure to purchase driver's license. In 2010, then we go to 2016, where he was arrested for misdemeanor controlled substance possession. And then, that's when the big stuff started happening with him in Twin Falls County. He had a major incident on November 4th. November 4th, 2016. It was a traffic stop. But remember, he'd already had a possession charge in September of 2016. So now this is November of 2016, started as a traffic stop. He fled, went on somewhat of a high-speed chase with the sheriff's deputies in Twin Falls County. He fired at them and actually shot a captain in the Twin Falls Sheriff's Department. He was eventually caught and he was charged with fleeing or attempting to elude, controlled substance possession. These are both felonies. Felony assault on correctional officer, felony unlawful discharge at an officer, felony unlawful possession of a firearm. Again, driver's license failure to purchase, because apparently he just isn't down with purchasing that. And then 4 felony counts of weapon unlawful possession by a felon. So these are the things that he, this was a huge incident in Twin Falls. And this is what he has been serving 20 years, a sentence of 20 years in prison for that incident. Since then, he has had some charges for contraband. And he also has had something, and I can't find what it is, but something that was an appeal that went to the Idaho Supreme Court while he's been in prison. I'm not sure what it is. I've got to do a lot more research on that because in his portal, there's really little description of it. It doesn't appear that he, that that went anywhere, but something was being appealed.
Interesting.
He's still in prison though. He was supposed to be in prison until 2036. Obviously, now it's going to be forever because if they are convicted of the murders of these two men, plus the felony escape, you know, which is his current new charge.
Well, that's the crazy thing. I mean, for Nick Uppenauer, dude was out. He was out. He'd done his time. And now he's going to go back for life.
Yeah. That's the part of all of this.
So worth it.
Right. What was so important to get out, to run to these particular places that just don't make sense for just running?
Yeah.
What were they after? What did they want? Why did they do any of this?
I don't know if we'll ever know. I hope we do. So
I hope so.
After an enormous amount of sleuthing, we do believe that we know both of the men who were murdered. Those names have not been released by the police yet. They haven't been released by the press yet. So we're going to stick to first names and just tell you what we know. And I will say both of their families are reporting on Facebook. And so, you know, it's not a huge secret, but we want to be careful and sensitive here because there are families that are devastated tonight by this news. So, and we don't know what their first stop was and what their second stop was.
Yeah, we don't know what order this all happened in.
But I think let's start in Clearwater.
Okay.
So, and that's in Orfino, or the Orfino area. And apparently, Nick showed up recently at the cabin there of an older gentleman named Don, who he has known from the past. We're unclear what his connection to Don is, but it does appear that he and perhaps his partner did know him at some point, or he maybe even stayed with them at some point from what we can gather. So we do have some feelers out on that, and hopefully I'll have a better answer about that soon, about how they actually knew him, but they knew this boy. Yeah. So apparently about a month ago, he actually had hiked up into this gentleman's cabin and surprised him. And he was really surprised to see him and sat for a cup of coffee for about an hour and then left. And
that would have been only a month since he'd been released from prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently, unfortunately, Nick and Skylar showed up at the cabin and murdered Dawn. We don't know why. We don't know what was taken. We do believe that this is where Nick's Skylar's shackles were left. That was is one thing that gets me. They left the shackles at one of the murder scenes. Like, did they want the police to know they were the ones?
Right.
Was that a calling card or was that a mistake? I don't know.
It's like they've done nothing to cover what they've done at all.
No. Unfortunately, Don had a family that couldn't reach him and had sent the police out to do a welfare check and discovered him deceased. And so,
well, yeah, because they saw Nick's name in the news.
In the news.
And knew he had visited Don recently and went, oh shit, what's going on?
Yeah.
So sad.
Nick, by the way, also went by Davey when he was younger. Mm-hmm. So some people that were coming across on socials are calling him Davey on Penauer because that's what he went by when he was in school, at least a portion of his life. So you may hear that name thrown around a little bit too, and that's why it's the same guy. His middle name is David. So their other spot, and before I move on, just want to send all of the condolences, man, to poor Don's family. They are so devastated. I can only imagine. I can't imagine. And I hope I never do, but my God, what a shock and how terrible.
Well, this was just Don,
a good man living his life. He didn't deserve this at all.
No,
so we don't
obviously
know what
by
they
his
did
community.
There. Yeah.
Right. And so Don and his partner were living apart. His partner, I think, is in Seattle. And Don was preparing to move from Idaho.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
To be with his partner.
Yeah, sounded like it. So just a huge tragedy and so uncalled for. And I don't know how old Don was, but he was a more elderly gentleman.
Yeah, but he was an older guy. Probably 60s, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, as more information comes out, we'll probably share a little bit more about what we've learned on that situation, but we want to be careful and sensitive here. Then moving on to Nez Perce County, there was a gentleman who went out yesterday on his daily walk. He usually goes out around 10 a.m. and takes a walk with his dogs. Oh, let me get back to my notes here. Yeah. Oh. His name is James. And James went out with his dogs on his walk. He drives his 2019 Chrysler Pacifica. It's a like dark gray, kind of a minivan or like small SUV. And he usually goes out with the dogs and walks every morning on a walking trail out in that area. Well, he never came home for lunch or for dinner. And the sheriff was called and a missing persons alert went out. He's 83 years old. And so, you know, there's worry when a guy doesn't come back, especially of that age. And unfortunately, James was also found deceased. And it is believed that he also was a victim of these two. It's believed that they stole his car. So there doesn't seem to be a connection. We don't know that they knew him. We don't know that they didn't, but we don't know that they knew him. It doesn't appear that they did. The dogs are safe. The dogs are okay. That was one concern a lot of people had because he was with his dogs.
Yeah.
But he was found
Jack Russell in a chocolate lab.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, his poor family is just in an incredible amount of shock and pain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like how, why in the world would something like this happen to a cool old guy just out on a walk?
Yeah.
How and why?
And they drove through Clearwater County to get to Nez Perce County and then back through Clearwater County to get back to Twin Falls. So we don't know, did they kill him and take his car and then go up to Nez Perce to Orofino? Or did they do this on the way back down? That's one thing that is not clear at all right now.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because apparently going to Don was maybe their main objective.
And what?
Guessing.
Did they steal from Don? What did they do up there?
Right. Was there something they were taking from him?
Obviously, we're cutting off shackles. But
yes.
So that's what we know. This is a hell of a case for Idaho. We are just heartbroken for the families that whose loved ones have died in this. I hope there's no others. These are the ones they know of. But these two were on a killing spree.
And they that worries me.
I know. I'm hoping that in the days to come, there's not a trickle of more information coming out with other deaths. Fingers crossed this was it. I wish this never was the case. I wish this had never, ever happened. But here we are. And so they are going to both be arraigned tomorrow in Twin Falls, and then we'll see from there where they go or what they do. They won't be offered a bond. There was a arrest bond apparently for $2 million on Nick Umpenhauer, but that's now been canceled, and they're saying there'll be no bond.
Because they'll just be taking them right from Twin probably to Ada, I would imagine.
Well,
at least Nick they will, or at least Skylar they will.
Well, the crimes happened in Ada, so they'll both go to Ada, but one will go back to the prison and the other will go to the jail. Go to
jail.
Where
that's who Chad Daybell is. He's about to meet one bad dude.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? He probably won't meet him. He's probably housed in somewhere protected or something. But it's
weird
that this, you know, we know that Chad just got transferred. He's there now. Nick Umbenauer will be there too.
Yeah. He's very dangerous, violent, depraved men. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So our big questions are, how the hell did this get planned? Why? What was the purpose of the targets that they hit? Why? And what else were they planning? It sure makes me worry that they were coming back to Twin Falls to
go after someone else.
Go after someone else, and they just happened to get caught.
Why would
that.
They go back to Twin, which is where Skylar was from? I mean, they had to have known that the police were going to be keeping a damn close eye on Twin Falls, and anyone that knew them or was associated with Skylar, at least, like, it just, none of this makes any sense. There has to be a lot more to this story.
Yeah. In the days and weeks to come, there will be a lot more coming. So, and please understand, this is a very preliminary report. This all went down in the course of the last 36 hours or so. So we may be cleaning up some of this later on, you know, and we'll always do that on case updates. There may be some of the information we've shared today that will be, you know, proved to be inaccurate down the road. And if it is, of course, we'll share that with you as well. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our very best to be as absolutely accurate as humanly possible and just help you understand what happened and what that looks like in this state. And so, again, we're always happy to fix a mistake down the road if there is one. But for now, this is the very best of the information that we were able to gather. So as always, our hearts are with the victims' families and everyone who loved them, and the shockwaves go running through their communities right now.
Well, and the prison guards.
Yeah.
Three shot, two still in the hospital. The police that had to deal with this, the hospital itself.
Yeah.
You know, they locked down St. Al's for a while. St. Al's is a very large hospital for Idaho standards. Mm-hmm. It's a very large hospital.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how scary.
Yeah.
And honestly, as horrible as this is, how tremendously lucky that it happened in the ambulance bay and not in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else inside the hospital where there would be more innocent bystanders.
As bad as this was, it could have been so much worse.
So much worse.
Yep. Well, there you have it. So we'll keep you updated on the story just like we do everything else. And we want to thank you very, very much for being here. Mm-hmm. Please take good care of yourselves. You absolutely deserve it. Sounds like I have a basset hound that needs something right now. So I'm going to sign off. This has been yet another production of the True Crime Squad.
Bye, everybody.